Planning Commission meeting, August 2nd, 2023.
Are you ready? Do you want to start early?
No, I'm starting this to make sure we... So, we should have five of these minutes, but the May 10th meeting, for some reason, was very, very low. So, I scribble notes, so I had to go back and... So, I'm just making sure that we do it early and on time, and it's close to you all. So, she can pick it up.
Okay, I was going to ask you something before we're on the record. How did that bill that was just signed by the governor with the small housing, in the state allowing what we're basically doing with putting small housing on lots already?
Tiny homes?
Yeah. How is that going to affect our statute that we have already?
I'm not aware of that bill. For tiny home, I'm aware of a bill where she essentially passes a directive that there's a housing crisis, and it's essentially an executive order indicating, hey, we need to do whatever we can to push things along. Because
the tiny house thing was in part of that,
okay,
and we're already doing it, so it's not really going to affect us unless there's other state regulations.
I can share that as part of the development report.
Okay.
On the record, Community Development Department. So, item number four.
I was just wondering if you had heard anything on that yet.
Appreciate you guys being here tonight. If you want copies of anything, happy to give it to you. At any point, we can do that. We have electronic copies too. We can send over to you of any of the materials. Every time you come, that seat stays vacant. So it continues to be vacant.
It would be awful crowded out there.
That's the nature of the Planning Commission. You get close and friendly.
And you get to give him a hard time. Yes, take it too.
I gotta take it.
I'd give him a hard time.
There you go.
And I had to take it.
That last time was when my grandson hit the tree on the motorcycle. Is that right? I couldn't get a hold of his dad. Was working. I couldn't get a hold of his mother, so I ran into the hospital because he screwed his lip right there. And I didn't have permission for medical care, so I had to get a hold of somebody, and they said, you're his grandfather, right? And I said, yes, that's good enough. So I didn't even think about calling in. I just took off.
Well, emergencies.
Yeah.
Does he wear a helmet?
He had a helmet on, but he didn't have anything on his face.
Mm-hmm.
When he went forward, he hit the bar there.
I've done that.
Yeah, I'm going to start a minute early. This is Wednesday, August 2nd. This is Winston Planning Commission. This is our regular meeting. If everybody would like to stand, we're going to do a quick pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, if I can get a quick roll call, you want to start?
Mike DeRussian. Rex Stevens.
Rob Price.
Morgan.
Steve Johnson.
And Thomas McIntosh, staff.
Okay, it's 7 o'clock. Meeting's officially open.
Stated for the record, Mr. Chairman, Cynthia Eastburn is absent.
Okay, thank you. Approval of minutes for January 4th, February 27th, May 10th, and July 19th.
Move approval of the minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Any old business?
Good. Comments from the audience, Mr. Chairman? You going to go back to that?
Yeah.
Okay. None at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Comments from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered in the agenda are welcome to address the Planning Commission as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame. This would help if I put these on. Intimidate or use profanity or personal affronts. The commission reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. Anybody have any comments or things they wish to discuss? Okay, we'll move on. Community Development Department report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Vice Chairman, members of the commission, members of the audience. Just a quick report. We are compiling our anticipated legislative amendments. We are hard at work on those. We are correlating with the Department of Land Conservation Development. Our contact, Josh Lumbumbar, he has been on vacation, but he did respond. The legislature did pass the grant funding for this cycle for planning technical assistance grants. So that includes cities that would like to apply for the economic opportunities analysis, which covers our what's going on with our commercial and industrial land. How much do we have? How much do we need in the next 20 years? So again, we did it with residential area. One of the things the city is struggling with in a very significant regard and not keeping up with other cities is the collection of property tax. Despite the, I guess, mentality out there that Winston has high property tax, most of the mill rate goes to the school district or the fire district. The city collects a nominal amount per thousand. But it's the commercial operations that really help enhance so that we can, we won't have to struggle as much balancing our budget. So the EOA, that acronym being the Economic Opportunities Analysis, is going to be integral in moving forward and trying to just kind of identify strategies on making the city a little more attractive for commercial businesses to come in. So that'll be part of our legislative packet, along with other code changes, one of them being the tiny home language, vetting out other cities, what do they do, what have they passed. A lot of other cities our size have not done anything. They're either forced to classify them as a mobile home or an RV because they have wheels on them. They're not either. We know that. So we need code language for it. We are also looking at including language that would capture Airbnbs, VRBOs. Those operations typically have to register with the state, and the state does a kickback for transient room tax for the city. It's a small amount. But we need to kind of get a good handle on how many are out there in the city. And to do that, we need to have some code language in order to trigger a business license process. So those are some elements of our packet that are forthcoming. We would anticipate a workshop by late September or early October. If we're thinking about doing it down at the PD because they have a conference room set up. They have electronic equipment that will allow us to do some visual aids. It can sometimes be a little difficult in here, particularly with the setup. You notice it's a little antiquated in this room, and it's a little bit of a facelift and better electronic equipment. The PD is a newer building, so that should provide a little bit more of a venue to provide the information. That concludes my report. Happy to take any questions.
The update that we're doing to the comprehensive plan, When do you look for that to be finished? 6-8 months out that we can set it up for council approval?
Yeah, I mean, it's a with the amendments, it's typically a moving target because it's a snowball effect. As we get it rolling, there's more things that are... You want the full meal deal when you're... What are all the areas that we can enhance? Right. So we usually like to have a collection of them. The last one was a massive effort. And not speaking of the TSP, this was the one that we changed our floodplain ordinance and we adopted the model one that the state put in place. And we had a slew of other ones, accessory dwelling units, those types of things. So we're going to collect other things. We want a platform and we want long enough to provide an opportunity for that, to foster that. So I would say that your timetable is fairly reasonable in terms of trying to get it before council.
Well, I know a lot of it depends on you and the time you have to set aside for our workshops and stuff. But could we set a tentative date of that we can finish and send it to council, like maybe June 1st or something? Would that give us enough time?
June 1st of next year?
Yeah.
You know, I would anticipate having it to council before that, but the Planning Commission can do what they feel necessary in terms of deadlines or timestamps. We do have to send these to the state, to the LCD. We put them in. They typically don't have an issue. We are the stewards of our code. You are, and you know how to best govern it. So your timetable is very forgiving, and that's what the Planning Commission wants to do. Absolutely can entertain that. But you typically don't want to put a cap on it because the process has to be flushed out completely
right. And
provide ample opportunity for the public and for all things to be included that are necessary.
Can you give us a start date then of when we're going to start it?
We've started already.
Oh, okay.
We've started collecting data and information from other cities on what they're doing with tiny home villages, what they're doing with you know, a number of other things. So the research portion is an important part of it because it will help inform what we place before the body of the Planning Commission for you to entertain. Chairman Morgan and myself, before the meeting, were talking on the commercial elements that we want to push forward. That one's going to take a little bit of brain power. Luckily, we have a lot of brain power here. We're going to have to throw a few options at you, and you'll have to make a decision on which you think is best for the city in terms of the locationing and the permitting process for a tiny home village or a tiny home subdivision, exactly what it would be. Because if you're looking at areas to have an existing subdivision with stick-built homes that are very nice, and then like Safari Estates, and then you see an expansion of that, 20 more acres, and it transitions to tiny homes, that's typically not consistent with the area. So the city is going to have to consider, if you allow it, where you're going to allow it and how.
Okay, this is not something that has been state mandated that we do. Correct?
No, it's not state mandated that you implement code language for tiny homes.
Cities have to work on it, and a lot of the language in some of these other cities that have tiny home villages, it's very confusing and it's not a good process. So, like he was saying, we really need to think about how we write out the codes that we use for that. And what we do allow or don't allow.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Back to that. Has the council given any sort of guidance or idea to you of which way they want to go on this, or are we the first step and they're kind of staying out of it until we make a decision?
They've given none. So you are the first step. You are the recommending body for those types of code changes. So it has not at length been addressed. The only elements of our potential changes that have been voiced to council is the recreational vehicle park language and our definition, because it's directly connected to transient room tax, to okay. which they govern and make decisions on how that's distributed, used, collected. So that it was pertinent, and in this regard, it can be shared with the higher governing body because it's everybody's ordinance, everybody's code. Yeah. So there's no such thing as ex parte contact for legislative amendments. But that's the only thing. The other things aren't necessary until we get to a hearing process and they have a collection of changes in the code placed before them that you've made a decision.
I was just curious of if we had any direction to go on this or if it's wide open for us. And it's
wide open.
Okay.
It's the direction that you give, that you, as a commission, feel is necessary for the city.
Because I'm afraid that if we don't do something, the state's going to step in there and they're going to put a blanket out there. And then everybody's going to have to scramble to get it done. So, you know, at least we can get the wording in there. We may not have to go physically forward with it, but at least we can get something in there that we're already up to speed with.
We will pen something out like we typically do, and the Planning Commission, in good conscience, can refine it in any way that you feel necessary.
Just continuing on with that thought, if a person moves to town and he's or she is renting an apartment, do we get state shared revenue from that person's their livelihood of being here?
Yeah, we do in multifamily. They are counted in our census.
Okay.
The only population that's really not counted in our census is temporary RVs or transient.
RV. Mm-hmm. So that would be the one like down at the park, and the other two here in town, right?
That would be all three existing ones and the anticipated fourth one that we may have. Yeah.
Because we need to somehow, if they're going to be living there beyond a 30-day window, we need to have some way of getting the state shared revenue from their living here in town and using all of our
all of our services and amenities
and
infrastructure. Yeah,
and, you know, it just doesn't seem fair in the sense that people that are living here in an apartment, they're counted. The state gives gasoline taxes. They give all kinds of the shared revenue to the city to be able to operate the city on. But when you have transient type housing available, we don't get any of that, and then unfortunately, once they go past 30 days, we don't receive any income from transient room tax.
Right.
And it kind of puts the city in a hard bind. It doesn't harm the school district because they get paid for the amount of people that is sitting down.
Butts in the chair.
Yep.
And
so there, it's not a big thing to them, but it is a big thing, and it's gotten to be a big thing over the past 15, 20 years. And
I can appreciate that purview. So Rex, our mayor emeritus, is obviously well-versed on how the collection of taxation takes. So just so the full commission understands, the only money that we get to work on our streets is from gas tax. Your property taxes cannot be used on streets. It's against the law. That's the way it is. The gas tax works is whoever uses the pumps in the city, right? They get gas. The state collects it, and then they distribute it out to the cities based on population. So, naturally, if you have RV parks that don't meet the definition and they can't be counted in your population goes down when it should be higher. It's being deflated or undermined in that regard when we could be getting more in these state revenue sharing programs.
Do you right offhand know what that tax is a year for the city? How much it is?
The gas tax? It's like a, what is it, a 4.5% on, yeah.
Everything sold within Winston.
Not every, just the gas tax.
It's based on the population only.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, on
percentage. It's a percentage of the state.
Okay.
And when people that's living in the RV places that are considered transient, even though some of them have been there for 2, 3, 5, and 10 years,
they're not counted.
They're not counted. So the city gets less and less, and the only one that benefits from that is the owner of that RV park. And but they get over in many, many ways. The same people that live in an apartment, say if a little old lady lives in an apartment down here, she pays the same sewer bill as everyone else. I believe it's either 6 or 8 to 1 in the RV parks. So out of every 8 or 6 or whatever the thing is, for every space, every 6 spaces, they pay for 1 sewer bill. And I'm sorry, but a little old lady living in an RV park and a little old lady living in an apartment, they probably flush the toilets the same amount as anyone else. And to give that benefit to that park that's running 90 to 100% as far as they're full, they're absolutely full, and we're not getting any money from the state shared revenue. I don't know who's picking up for those people, but we surely are not. And it's cost us just in street dollars tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands over the past 20 years. And we haven't been able to get anything.
Well, all of that relevant. The RV parks also pay a fraction of the SDC.
Yes.
Yep.
Which is system development charges. The connections that for connecting initially up for the first time, system for wastewater, for parks, for streets, there's a certain amount that you pay. RV spaces, it's like 45% of your normal 1 equivalent dwelling unit or EDU. So it's really a fraction all around. And as you know, we previously did research and we came to the conclusion of that research based on talking to other cities and talking to a couple of attorneys, even for another city, the Coquille City Attorney, fleshing that completely out. The permanent and pre-existing nature of the existing parks give them the protections and the appearance of a mobile home park because of what they are. And so that situation kind of forced us to look at, well, can we look at the census side of it? Well, as long as there's wheels on those units, they're transient and can't be counted in the census. I spoke to someone with the Bureau, and that's just their purview and how they look at it. I also spoke to someone with the Portland State University Population Research Growth Center, who does all of our work in the state of Oregon. And, you know, it's the same thing. So it's, I'll leave it up to the commission to make, draw their own conclusions, but there are things being undermined there.
Well, doesn't a tiny home have to be on city, like its own city sewer and utilities? And I mean, it can't be on wheels, right?
If it's on wheels, it's seen as an RV?
Well, I mean,
it could be both.
But you can use city ordinance to say you can't have an RV in your yard, right?
You can't. You can store an RV in your yard. You just can't live in it long term.
Exactly.
On an individual lot. Yes.
Right. So if somebody, you know, went and bought a shed from Home Depot, threw it in their backyard, and had somebody living in it, that's...
Well, that doesn't have wheels.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That's a permanent structure, yeah.
And most of those tiny homes don't have wheels. They're just an overbuilt shed.
They do have an insignia on it. They are pre-engineered in a manufacturing unit, and they are inspected during that time. So they're, if they don't have wheels, they're seen as a manufactured home.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If you can get around the, you know, make it so you can't just wheel something in, then tiny homes and RV parks are...
You can do a manufactured home park with tiny homes.
But they can't be mobile.
Right. If you want to do a mobile home park with tiny homes, they can't have a transportation unit.
Right.
Correct. Yeah.
What has the city done to address this issue? Have they tried to figure out a way to tax these recreational vehicle parks or not?
No. What kind of taxation would be under the purview for that? There really wouldn't be any.
Toll road. Nothing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we...
Because I do know some of the people that live in the one like down by the river. I realize it's in the urban growth boundary and not in the city limits. I realize that. But with that, without that being said, there are some people there that have been there over 20 years living in a recreational vehicle.
The taxation process requires an electorate. In most cases, it requires a vote, and the law dictates that it's non-discriminatory, meaning that you're doing a general application to anyone that applies. So you wouldn't be able to do an isolated taxation just against RV parks. In most cases, there might be some case law out there that I'm not aware of, but we've been going hard at this for revisiting the recreational marijuana situation.
Well, I know that this issue has came up since at least 2004. That's how long I've been on the Planning Commission. And I realize that we just keep going around and around in circles over it.
On tiny homes?
Well, on the RV parks.
Oh, RV parks.
Okay. Yeah. And
yes.
It seems like it's one, you just keep hitting the brick wall, you know, and you keep going back and back and back and... You know, they're getting over, you know, like you say, we're losing tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars in the last 20 years just in loss and services, you know.
And it just seems to me that if it's more than 90 days, you're no longer a transient, you're living there, you know.
Seems to me if it's more than 30 days.
30 days.
Yeah.
But I have seen parents and grandparents go for like a summer, you know.
Yep. Snowbirds.
You know, so you can stretch it to 90 days and not have too much trouble. But for that, you're living here. You're not just vacationing.
Mm-hmm. What about the camping ordinance that they passed?
The camping ordinance?
Yeah.
That has specific application to the House bill that was passed for those people experiencing homelessness. So it just applies to that isolated situation.
So just basically tents?
Yes. There's a prohibition for RVs. If you have a recreational vehicle and you're not experiencing homelessness, you have some method of staying dry and warm. If the commission wants, that ordinance was passed, it went through the appeal period, council adopted it, the modification of our camping ordinance dealing with those specific house bills that were passed. If you'd like to be apprised on that, we can set something up and go all the way through. But there's a lot of moving parts to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we dealt with that for 3 or 4 months. And... Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody got anything else on, where are we at, old business?
No, we're on community.
About community development, you got anything else?
Nope, that concludes my report.
Any council members have anything on community development or anything coming up? Old business.
Nothing at this time, Mr. Vice Chair.
Could you give us an update on the development process of the RV park, RV campground, whatever it is?
On Abraham?
On Abraham, yeah.
There is really no update. We have 32 conditions of approval, and none of them have been signed off. So...
And after a year, they have to come back for approval again, right?
Not to you. The extension is a ministerial decision, which means it happens at the staff level.
Okay.
So they, it used to be that they'd have to show some type of progress. Now the code or the statute just allows, essentially they are trying to plan it, their financial encumbrances, an array of issues will allow them to extend. The idea is once they have a tentative approval, they have the right to keep the file alive and build out their development. So the anticipated development year or start year would be next year, 2024. There may be some landscaping done this year, but that's the only thing that's been communicated to the city.
Any further movement on the project at Brockway and 42?
No. From what I understand, there are really heavy engineering on that. We can only really go through broad strokes on that because that's the development that would likely come before the body of the Planning Commission. And
right.
We want to keep you from recusing yourself. Those developments are anticipated to be forthcoming. I mean, that's essentially what we have.
How is the up above the Brockway School, those houses that were tore down and being redeveloped, is that?
Well, none of them actually got tore down. It's actually a, we went through quite the prolific compliance process.
Right, right.
And we're now seeing really good results, kind of fruit of our labors. If you go up Will Way, a lot of those are being finished.
Yeah.
And they've been finaled and they've been placed on the market. The ones down in the corner, they're doing a lot of, they're through their mold inspections, they're doing a lot of ripping out the areas that couldn't stay. You know, using some of the old contracting crews. You're seeing some work being done on the Brockway side too. A lot of those houses. There was 14 total. There's 7 that got final, so we still have quite a few. That includes vacant lots because there was a request. Can we start building on them? Finish the ones you have, and then we'll entertain permits for vacant lots to build from the ground up. Normally, we don't dictate that, but we had a very prolific compliance issue there where we had to roll out our nuisance ordinance and, you know, whatever. So I'd say that that's going a good direction, very positive.
And the one up on the hill from there is still in progress?
Which?
The farther up at the end of the road?
The two of them out there.
Yeah. There are two. There's one to the northeast, and that's a 46 lot. Tentative approval, 3-phase.
Yeah.
There's been nothing on that. No words on that, really.
Yeah.
And to the east, there's a 90 lot tentative approval for a subdivision, 1-phase. If you can recall, that was placed before the body, and there hasn't been any move. So far as I know, that one is still going through litigation, through a civil suit. These other houses, these smaller lots, got all the way through the foreclosure process, but this one is still in the prior ownership, and which tells me litigation is still taking place.
Okay. Yeah, I just hadn't heard anything. I was wondering what the progress was on those.
No one has communicated for months on those. So we would just be assuming in that regard.
So okay.
Commissioner.
The core project is still kind of fumbling along down there.
They still have an open permit. As you can see, there's a little bit there that's undesirable. Got some fenced off area and whatnot. They have two elements of their URA process left. They have landscaping, which is about $7,000 left that we're supposed to write off. They have their storm connection. That's probably the biggest issue there. There were two big storm. Maybe you were privy to this. There's been no movement since our economic development meetings, just to apprise the rest of the Planning Commission. The storm connection, the inlet, is under county jurisdiction on that part of 99. The problem is that in order for them to connect in, the lines going horizontal with 99 are too high. So they can't make grade. The idea for storm is you do gravity and the pipe declines until it goes into the system. And that gravity is usually the best. Well, they're not able to make that kind of grade, so they have to come up with a pumping system to do it. So they're trying to kick that. That's not easy, especially after this gas tank deal that they dealt with. So they still have an open permit, and we are being as encouraging as a city as we can. So that's
okay. And that catches us up to everything so far, right?
Yep, I think so.
Okay, new business.
Mr. Chairman, I have a script for you.
Okay.
On this one.
We're at the new business part. We have a public hearing. This part of the meeting is for public hearings. The Planning Commission will hear one public hearing tonight. The public hearing is for a preliminary approval for a plan amendment and zone change from general commercial to residential low density. Planning Department file number 23-W002. To ensure that these proceedings are conducted in a fair and orderly manner, state law has established rules and procedures governing the conduct of land use hearings. I'll now explain the procedures we'll follow. The hearing will be conducted in the following order of events. We will first establish for the record the parties that are entitled to party status. Party status is important because it determines who is entitled to participate in the hearing and who has the right to appeal the Planning Commission's decision. People eligible for party status include the applicants, the property owner of the subject property, and the owners of the property within 150 feet of the subject property, or any other person who can demonstrate that they will be specially, personally, adversely, or substantially affected by the results of the hearing. We will next establish for the record that all members of the Planning Commission are able to participate in the hearing in a fair and objective manner. The Commission will then hear the written staff report. After that, the applicant's testimony will be heard first, followed by testimony from parties in favor of the application. The Commission will then hear from those parties who wish to speak in opposition of the application. After all testimony has been given, the applicant will be given an opportunity to respond to the testimony of the opposition. Testimony instructions. I want to stress that all testimony, including rebuttal, will be directed to the Planning Commission. Direct exchanges between opposing parties will not be allowed during the hearing. Questions may be asked at any time by members of the Planning Commission. Questions by the parties or city manager may be allowed by the president upon request. Testimony, arguments, and evidence given must be based on fact and directed towards the applicable criteria of the comprehensive plan, zoning ordinance, or subdivision ordinance which the person believes to apply to the decision. All evidence offered may be received. Testimony and evidence given in this hearing should be of the quality that reasonable persons rely upon in the conduct of their everyday affairs. Any evidence received shall become part of the record of the hearing. Failure to raise an issue in the hearing, either in person or in writing, with sufficient specificity to afford the approving authority and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue, precludes appeal to LUBA based on that issue. Pursuant to ORS 197.796, the failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. After all testimony has been heard, the Planning Commission will have an opportunity to ask questions of the parties. The hearing will then be closed and discussion limited to members of the Planning Commission and staff. The Planning Commission will forward a recommendation to City Council for their consideration. The decision the Planning Commission makes will not be official until the written findings of fact are approved and signed by the Commission and the parties are mailed the official notice of decision. After the notice of decision has been sent to the parties, it will be open to appeal to the City Council for 14 days. No permits will be issued by the City during the 14-day appeal period. If an appeal is filed, no permits will be issued until the appeal process is complete. Does everyone understand the hearing procedures that they've been described?
Yes.
Please note that the hearings are being tape recorded. This is a is to provide a full record of the hearing. So it's important that only one person speak at a time and only after being recognized. After you have been recognized, please begin by clearly stating your name and resident address for the record. I'll now open the hearing for the preliminary approval for a plan amendment and zone change from general commercial to residential low density. Planning Department file number 23-W002. We'll now establish for the record those persons who have party status in this hearing. For the record, I'll note that the applicant and the city each have party status. Is there anyone present who has affected agency or owns property within 150 feet of the property who wants party status? Is there?
Yes.
Would that mean me? What am I supposed to
do? Go ahead to the Mr. Chairman, go ahead to the pulpit. Just state your name and address, and then you'll have an opportunity later to testify.
My name is Betty Heath, and I own a house at 77 Brantley.
Would you spell your last name for us, please?
H-E-A-P.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
That's it?
Yep, that's it for now. Is there anyone who may be specially, personally, adversely, or substantially affected by the outcome of this proceeding who believes they are entitled to party status? And we've already gone through that. Has the staff received any written requests for party status?
We have not.
Ex parte conflict or disclosures. The Planning Commission is concerned that the hearing be fair to all parties, both in substance and in appearance. Therefore, it is important that we establish for the record that all members of the Commission are able to hear and decide this request in a fair and objective manner. Do any members of the Commission have a financial interest in this property?
No.
Sorry, I didn't finish that. Which is the subject of this hearing? Do any members stand to gain or lose any financial benefit as a result of the outcome of this hearing?
No.
No.
Have any members discussed this matter with the appellant or any other interested parties prior to the start of this hearing?
No.
No. Have any commission members met as a group to discuss this matter prior to the start of this hearing?
No.
No. Do any members wish to disclose any facts which might create the appearance that they may have a conflict of interest or are otherwise unable to participate in the hearing in a fair and objective manner?
No.
No. Does any party have an objection to any of the planning commissioners participating in this hearing? Now that the planning commission has been qualified, we'll proceed with the hearing. Staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman, members of the planning commission, members of the audience. So the applicant, Richard Liu, is requesting a comprehensive plan amendment and zone change to change a 0.15 acre parcel from commercial to residential, three dwelling units per acre, and zoning from general commercial to residential low density. The subject property is, of course, located on Southwest Brantley Drive, south of his intersection with Northwest Douglas. As part of the review, the Planning Commission received a notice, as well as the Department of Land and Conservation Development, at least 35 days prior to this hearing. There was a legal notice also processed with the local newspaper, the News Review, and a media release, as well as a notification release on the city's website in the normal fashion. The Planning Commission this evening will review the Winston Municipal Code relevant areas, more specifically 154.031 and 154.184 for a quasi-judicial plan amendment and zone change. The subject property is surrounded in parts by residential used property. I want to kind of emphasize that point. More specifically, if you take a look at the map that was provided, you will see very small residential lots that surround the subject property on 51 Brantley. The property itself is not located directly adjacent to Northwest Douglas, which is typical for commercial property to have exposure to a thoroughfare or a minor collector or some larger streets in a commercial capacity. Instead, it is essentially isolated to the south. The property to the north and to the south and to the east are all being utilized in a residential fashion. The properties to the west and further to the north and to the northeast are all commercial zoned, but there is only one that is being utilized in a commercial capacity. The property to the northeast is essentially vacant on the southeast side of Northwest Douglas. And, of course, the VFW is to the west, which is essentially a commercial use, and then you have a associated use to the north. The property itself has a pre-existing multifamily apartment building where the four units on the second level have been utilized in a residential capacity for some years. The ground level, so the commercial zoning dictates that the ground level has to be utilized for a commercial operation, but the top level can be residential. There has been extreme difficulty to utilize that ground level area in any commercial fashion for some years. The city, through business license and different situations, can definitely attest to that. So the idea is to, go ahead.
Is that strictly due to the location?
It is. It's away from Northwest Douglas.
Okay.
There's not very good exposure there, which is not necessarily a major hindrance, but in this particular area, historical factors tend to lean that way. Instead, the property and the structure is leaning heavily towards a residential multifamily development. So transitioning the property from commercial to residential will allow the entirety of the structure to be used in a residential capacity. It would allow apartments to be built downstairs. So to conclude the staff report, there are some factors that were folded in that essentially speak towards our housing needs analysis on if there would be a difficult. Of course, we don't have an EOA, so we don't know our commercial stock right now. Based on GIS, it would be the testimony from staff that this wouldn't necessarily create a deficiency in commercial zoning. Instead, the property with its existing use undermines our real commercial stock and our number that we currently have.
Wasn't there something concerning changing residential property or commercial property to residential? Didn't something come down from either the past governor or this new governor that we had to follow a certain guideline and we had to go out of our way to make room for more housing needs?
There's an encouragement in that regard. I'm not aware of any mandate. There has been a very strict statutory and local jurisdictional requirement and process on transitioning from one plan designation and zone to another, especially if you're going from residential to commercial or commercial, because that's a significant change. It's a change in transportation. It's a change in economic, social, welfare, those types of things. You'll notice in the application materials that are attached as exhibits, the applicant has addressed all 14 statewide planning goals. That includes housing. He directly correlates it back to our housing needs analysis and references the housing shortage that's taking place and the fact that the application would address that very need. So I hope that...
Well, I'm just afraid, because I know we went in depth with that about removing multifamily dwellings and giving them back to single family to residential. We addressed that a bit of time back, and I thought there was something coming down the pipe that was going to be made, that the state required that we keep as much multifamily dwelling property as possible and not turn it back into residential, single family dwelling residential.
We are required to keep a close look at the legislative cycle because we have to know what we're being mandated to pass. And I'm not aware of anything in that regard.
maybe it didn't pass and maybe it didn't go through, but I know they were really pushing it.
Yeah, so the idea behind this application, and just to conclude my staff report, the application materials as well as the findings that the applicant submitted do show a substantial need and shows a demonstrates a substantial need for additional residential dwellings in a multifamily capacity. The existing property is confined and it's being used right now as a residential use. So it's confined to that use already. And so the plan amendment zone change would essentially just make the property consistent with its existing use. That's probably not going to change.
Okay.
That concludes my staff report. Happy to take any questions.
Okay. Does the applicant wish to speak to the present testimony?
The applicant's not here.
Okay. Proponent. Are there any parties who wish to speak in favor of the application? You? State your name and address again, please.
My name is Betty Heap, and I live at 190 Estacada, which is in Roseburg area, but I own the house at 77 Brantley, and it is in residential. And I approve of this because it would seem as though, you know, with it already having residences upstairs, it just makes sense to me. And it would be, because I have other rentals, but having something commercial downstairs would make it the parking and the busyness. I mean, it would make that property less valuable, you know, than it is already, and I just think this seems sensible. And it is, you know, most of that drive there is a residential area, which my home that I have also.
Okay.
So?
Thank you.
Anybody want a question?
Thank you.
And I agree, there's not much business, but you're going to be able to put in that building.
That's been the struggle, Commissioner. I appreciate that. There are several operations that have tried. There's been a salon and haircutting operation. There's been a foot masseuse. There's just kind of random, and they've all had to kind of leave out of there because you don't have good exposure. You don't have good traffic that goes in there, and locationally, it's committed to residential once you get that south on the street.
Are there any other parties who wish to speak in favor of the application? If not, we'll find out. Are there any parties who wish to speak in opposition to the application? No. Record additions. Before moving to rebuttal, does the applicant, opponents have anything new to add to the record? Once we move to rebuttal, no new testimony will be accepted from proponents or opponents. If the decision is appealed, the City Council will not consider anything that is not a part of the record. Now is the time to present additional information if you have it.
Mr. Vice Chair, you can go to final questions because
okay.
there is no testimony in opposition.
Okay. Does the Planning Commission or staff have any final questions for the applicant or other parties?
Just a statement. When I first looked at this without diving a little bit deeper into it, it's not in Winston's best interest to take and change commercial property to residential property. But looking at the way this particular piece of property sits and the lack of parking or proposed parking that would be there, it just doesn't fit in the commercial.
Valley's Market, and then you had various auto care places, and there's even a small tire shop in there. But as far as this property goes, it's always been some sort of property that's been for housing. It's been residential. And when you're doing a plan and you're doing an overlay, thankfully it's been put in there that it can also be changed. And this one here, I think, is definitely needs to be changed because it has no Highway 42 or Douglas Avenue. It's just not seen, and it should not be a commercial property. I think it would be a very hard fix, and I think it would fit our needs to have the owners put housing in there, and that would go in our housing market. So it just needs to come out of commercial.
Are there any other questions from staff? Okay. Once the hearing is closed, there can be no further testimony received without reopening the hearing. Is there a motion to now close the hearing and begin discussion by the Planning Commission?
Also a motion.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Anybody have anything they want to ask Thomas on or debate? Do you know, Thomas, the structures that's on there, is the owner planning on leaving that structure and changing that to a single family dwelling, or is that structure coming down and they're rebuilding? Do you know?
No, it's a apartment complex.
Yeah.
And there's four units upstairs, and there's been commercial operations downstairs. He will just retrofit and put apartments downstairs.
Put four downstairs.
And make it a multifamily full building.
Okay, and then what's going to happen with the upstairs?
The apartments would stay there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure what the idea was for it. Anybody have any questions or anything? Anybody have a motion to vote on this at this time, or do you want to ask some more questions?
I move to adopt the staff report and accept alternative one to approve the requested comprehensive plan map amendment and zone change as requested by the applicant for the property located at 51 Southwest Brantley Drive, Planning Commission file 23-W002. The City Council may adopt by reference the findings of the Planning Commission staff report dated July 26, 2023.
Okay. Second. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thomas?
Thank you. Yep. Got it down, Mr. Vice Chairman. So this, with your recommendation for approval, will go to, another legal notice, will go to the City Council and would be executed by virtue of an ordinance for the change.
What's other we know?
I have a...
lost it already.
I have another... script for you. I bet you mixed me in chair, huh? You love the ADHD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on, I wrote a note on. Keep going.
Keep going, you'll find it, man. I can put dividers in there.
There we go. There
if
we
the
go,
commission right wants in the future.
Yeah. just a tab.
Just to show where you're navigating from one section to the other.
Okay.
We can augment the process.
Okay. This part of the meeting is for public hearings. The Planning Commission will have one public hearing. We'll have a public hearing tonight. The public hearing is in regards to conditional use permit for a home occupation per Winston Municipal Code 154.030B6, Planning Department File Number 23-W004. To ensure the proceedings are conducted in a fair and orderly manner, state law has established rules and procedures governing the conduct of land use hearings. I'll now explain the procedures as we follow. Bear with me, everybody. The hearing will be conducted in the following order of events. We'll establish for the record that the parties are all entitled to party status. The party status is important because it determines...
Mr. Vice Chairman, we may not need to qualify council necessarily the Planning Commission. Do either of you folks want to offer testimony on this particular? Okay. Then, Mr. Vice Chairman, you are welcome to go to page 3 and start at the top. We won't have to do instructions. You can just move to qualifying.
I'll now open the hearing for the request of conditional use permit, Planning Department File Number 23-W004. Party status will now establish for the record those persons who have party status in the hearing. For the record, I will note that the applicant and city each have party status. Is there anyone present who is an affected agency or owns property within 150 feet of the subject property who wants party status? Is there anyone who may be specially, personally, adversely, or substantially affected by the outcome of this proceeding who believes they are entitled to party status? Has staff received any written requests for party status on this?
We have not.
Ex parte conflict or disclosures. The Planning Commission is concerned that the hearing be fair to all parties, both in substance and in appearance. Therefore, it's important that we establish for the record that all members of the Commission are able to hear and decide this request in a fair and objective manner. Do any of the members of the Commission have a financial interest in the property which is subject to the hearing?
No.
Do any members stand to gain or lose financial benefit as a result of the outcome of this hearing?
No.
Have any members discussed this matter with the appellant or any other interested party prior to the start of the hearing?
No.
Have any commission members met as a group to discuss this matter prior to the start of this hearing?
No.
Do any members wish to disclose any facts which might create the appearance that they may have a conflict of interest or otherwise unable to participate in this hearing in a fair and objective manner?
No.
Does any party have an objection to any planning commissioners participating in this hearing? Now that the Planning Commission has been qualified, we'll proceed to the hearing. Staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman, members of the Commission, members of the audience. So Planning Department file number 23-W004 for a application for a conditional use permit for a home occupation for a small salon business in the daylight basement of the property owner's home, which she has gotten a permit. An interior remodel permit for just essentially a nominal space in the northeast corner of the home. The property is located on 90 Northwest Newton Drive, essentially about 100 yards to the east of our last public hearing application. So the properties are in fairly close proximity. I think it was kind of a whimsical week because I was assuming we were going to get another application a little further down the road. We were just capturing that part of the city in terms of application. So the just a few housekeeping items. The conditional use permit application was filed with the city on April 18, 2023 and was deemed complete on April 18, 2023. Notice of the public hearing of the application for the conditional use permit before the Planning Commission was given in accordance with Section 154.180 of the Winston Municipal Code. Notice was sent to affected property owners within 150 feet of the subject property, public utility districts, and government agencies on July 6, 2023. No written responses were received. As of the writing of the staff report, we have received no responses in regards to the land use application notice. The subject property currently has a single-family dwelling with no other structural development. Plan designation is residential low density, or 3 dwelling units per acre. Zone is residential low density A. The property does have access to Winston-Dillard Water District along Southwest Newton, as well as the City of Winston Sanitary Sewer along Southwest Newton. Southwest Newton is a residential street. Transportation or capacity thereof will be handled at a later point in this staff report. The applicant is expecting what she or he defines as a nominal salon business, which means a potential 2 to 3 clients per week is what she is expecting. As you know, the conditional use permit process, and we had a workshop on this some time back, requires us to look at compatibility. This particular application indicates they want to do a little bit. There's a commercial component to a salon. There is. And the applicant would like to do it in their home, in a portion of their home, and retrofit their daylight basement to do so. So essentially what the code is going to look at is residential areas should remain in that capacity in terms of aesthetic, in terms of appearance, in terms of use. So in terms of the CUP criteria, compatibility was looked at. The compatibility analysis was obviously had to be addressed. And due to the 2 to 3 clients and the fact that there will not be a sign placed, there's nominal additional traffic consistent with what Southwest Newton has the capacity of maintaining, and the aesthetics remaining in a residential capacity, staff determined that there is no confliction with commercial versus residential areas. That it essentially occupied as a limited home occupation, but because of the code requirements, it had to be processed as a home occupation.
Have you looked at the required street width and stuff to make mm-hmm. sure there's parking? Because we need to keep the parking for
yes.
commercial business. Would be what, 1 handicap and 2 other parking spots for a site business that size, right?
This is not defined by the state statute or the building department as a full residential building. It is not a residential lot. It is not a building that has to be follow an occupancy code for commercial. So essentially, to answer your question, Southwest Newton Drive does have a right-of-way width of 60 feet.
Okay.
So there is ample. This operation and the permitting does not require any off-street parking. It has to all be on-street. There is an ample driveway with sufficient parking.
Okay.
And ADA wouldn't necessarily be allowed, but there is so after a site visit that was done, there's room for 4 to 5
okay.
Parking spaces, 9 by 18. We do have, let's see, and I appreciate you bringing that up. There, condition number 6 is what we'll go over for parking. But I want to get through my conclusion here.
Yeah.
Based upon the findings outlined above, and the imposition of appropriate and reasonable conditions of approval, the proposed conditional use permit to authorize a home occupation on the 0.23 acre unit of land located at 90 Southwest Newton within the city limits can be made to substantially conform to the criteria of Winston Municipal Code 154. The Planning Commission, if you deem it necessary to approve, alternative one includes the 7 conditions that are listed. Number 1, the proposed conditional use shall substantially conform to the request as presented in the application. Number 2, the applicant property owner shall be advised that the noise requirement located in the Winston Municipal Code applicable sections apply to the proposed home occupation, meaning that there is a small commercial component there and the noise ordinance is still prevalent there. The applicant property owner shall be advised that no commercial alterations to the property or structures, including signage, shall be permitted. Number four, the proposed home occupation for a salon shall take place wholly inside an enclosed building. Can't do anything outside to remain those residential aesthetics. Number five, the applicant property owner shall complete the surfacing requirements for the right-of-way activity permit currently open with public works. This condition was directly in concert with the fact that they peripherally put in a permit to put in an additional driveway, which was approved by the city. They did not build that driveway to city specs. So before this is completed and they get a perfected file, they need to complete that permit. They have another open permit. We have to run condition compliance in that regard. So that's what that means. Number six, the applicant property owner shall ensure one 9x18 parking space is designated for every 100 square feet dedicated to commercial use. So she's using 320 square feet of her home, so it requires three parking spaces. So if I lost anybody, I am on alternative one and I'm on condition number seven.
Yeah, I don't see that. We don't have anything past five.
Yeah. Oh, you don't?
Next page,
at the back. Didn't make it?
No.
Well, let me read them to you. Okay. Because they're riveting. Okay.
Yeah. We weren't losing that line.
What's that?
We ended five.
Okay, so you ended five. Number six is the applicant property owner shall ensure one 9x18 parking space is designated for every 100 square feet dedicated to commercial use within the single family dwelling for the purpose of the home occupation. That's number six. Number seven, and the last recommended condition, after the 12-day appeal period has expired and the above conditions have been met, the applicant shall contact the City of Winston to obtain a planning clearance worksheet for authorization of the improvement, or the CUP.
So did I hear you correctly that phase one has to be the bringing up to code the driveway before this can go start working on this, right?
Before they can carry out the salon business and have even one client, she's got to, and it doesn't have to be sequential. The driveway condition is one of them. She's got to complete six conditions. Once she's completed those six, she comes in and does a worksheet to perfect the file, which is the seventh and final condition.
Okay.
That concludes my staff report. Happy to take any questions. By the way, Mr. Chairman, I apologize about the copying issue, but the page that you're missing also has alternative two and three on it. Alternative two is what you would typically see in concert of, you have the option of approving it, but modifying or adding additional conditions, if you so choose. Number three is you can request a continuance or you can deny the conditional use permit. Alternative one is approving with the seven conditions.
More than two or three clients a week, correct?
Correct.
So, like, she's not having half a dozen a day going in and out.
Nope, that's not what was portrayed in the application. That's not the clientele that she wants to entertain. She doesn't want to have that level of activity. It's more of a home-based, comfortable type word-of-mouth operation is what was translated onto the application.
Any questions or anything, or well, the applicant, the proponent, the opponent are all not here.
Right. Yep. You can go to final questions.
Okay. You don't have anything to add to the record?
I don't.
Okay. Final question. Does Planning Commission or staff have any questions of the applicant or the parties? No. Once the hearing is closed, there can be no further testimony received without reopening the hearing. Is there now a motion to close the hearing and begin discussion by the Planning Commission?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Anybody have any questions?
Mr. Miller Loop up there?
Yes.
Okay. I thought I recognized it.
Yeah. But so that particular property has had a home business in it before. And it's also had an accounting business in it too, so.
Any motion to accept an alternative or motion to approve an alternative for this and move on?
I'll make a motion to approve alternative one.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. So that at the next meeting, findings of fact will be placed before the body of the commission. That will start the appeal period and issue the approval process.
Okay. Make sure we get all of this done. Is that it for the agenda tonight?
Other business than adjournment?
Yeah. Yep. Do you have anything?
Nothing additional?
Do you have any workshops coming up? The schedule or just something you want to talk about or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the workshop near the end of September, the beginning of October on our anticipated legislative amendments. That's the only thing really on the horizon.
Okay.
So we are going to have, we have a regularly scheduled planning commission meeting on the 23rd of this month. And
right.
You have two, and I hope, Madam Chair, I hope you're, it's up. You could talk to us a little bit. So we have two public hearings on that agenda as well. You have a consent to annex up on Winston Section Road for an emergency sewer line connection. We did some a while back, really a couple properties down. Seems to be a common theme up there.
Is this another island property?
No.
No?
It's not an island. Nope. Okay. It's one. If you want to connect to our sanitary sewer system, you want to place additional stress on the system, then you a requirement to annex and pay city taxes and not county and contribute like anybody else that's in corporate limits that's hooked up to our main line or sewer line.
And they decided that was the better way to go.
Well, they have to.
Yeah.
If you're within 300 feet of a main line, you have to connect, and to do that, you got to annex. I mean, it's a city. And then the other public hearing will be for a variance to setbacks, which is a also on Winston Section, further to the south, it's got an interesting history. It used to be owned by the city of Winston, but last year we went through a surplusing process because the city had no viable use for it. A gentleman bought it and is now going to build it, but it's got a very unique situation. It's a triangle-shaped lot that there's not a whole lot of space there. So,
long sliver.
Yeah, yeah. So those two will be placed on the for the 23rd. You'll be getting notices shortly.
Okay. In the mail for that. If there's no further business, could I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It is 8:14, and the Planning Commission is now closed. All right. Yeehaw.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you all for bearing through that with me.
And
you guys for coming.
You're a police.